A Whistling Woman, Frederica Potter, Book 4, written by A.S. Byatt and read by Sophie Aldred.
A whistling woman and a crowing hen is neither good for God nor men, a frequent saying of my maternal grandmother.
And just as I'd taken the highest tree in the wood, continued the pigeon, raising its voice to a shriek, and just as I was thinking I should be free of them at last, they must needs come wriggling down from the sky. Ugh, serpent!
But I'm not a serpent, I tell you, said Alice. I'm a...
Well, what are you? Said the pigeon. I can see you're trying to invent something.
I'm a little girl, said Alice, rather doubtfully, as she remembered the number of changes she had gone through that day.
A likely story indeed, said the pigeon in a tone of the deepest contempt. I've seen a good many little girls in my time, but never one with such a neck as that. No, no, you're a serpent, and there's no use denying it.
Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland. Here at the fountain's sliding foot, or at some fruit tree's mossy root, casting the body's vest aside, my soul into the boughs does glide. There, like a bird, it sits and sings, then wets and combs its silver wings, and, till prepared for longer flight, waves in its plumes the various light. Andrew Marvel, The Garden. 1. This is the last tree, said the thrush. The last tree was a dwarf thorn, its black branches shaped one way by the wind, pointing back the way they had come. Formerly, said the thrush, there was a last tree further out, and in earlier times there was a stunted wood, the Crumholtz. The waste is advancing. They looked into iron twilight. They could barely make out the bluff where the wood had once been rooted. No one goes out there, said the thrush. In former days there were travellers, until winter set in, but now they are afraid of the whistlers. The winters have lengthened, and in the light days the land is infested by the whistlers.
The place we seek is on the other side, said Artigal. According to the maps and the histories, we must go and quickly, before winter sets in.
And before the hunters catch up with us, said Mark.
No one has set out or come from there in my lifetime, said the thrush, fluffing out his spotted feathers. His lifetime was not very long, and his territory was small. He was a wiry, thick-quilted thrush.
What is the land like? Asked Artigal.
Scrub and stones, mosses and lichens, deep pools with ice covers, frozen rivers. There are white creatures there, I've been told, that scutter in the snow and hide in holes, and slick grey efts in the pools. They used to say the lichens were edible, if not palatable. All hearsay. I haven't been there.
And the whistlers?
No one has seen them and lived, said the thrush. Indeed, to hear them is mostly fatal. They fly or glide like grey shadows, and make a sound. A sound.
A sound?
So it is said, a high whistling sound, at the extreme edge of what any creature can hear. Yet all must hear it. A dog can hear whistles that you hear as disturbed silence, but these creatures have the power to pierce any ear. Bird and man, bear and snowcock, even your sleeping stone reptile who appears to be lifeless.
Artigal looked at Dracoselex, who had shown no sign of life since the bale fires of the last village.
I could do with his counsel, said Artigal, if he could be wakened.
If the whistlers woke him, said the thrush, you would not live to hear his counsel, and your bones would be picked in an instant.
They built a shelter near the last tree and set up their tents before night fell. Noises howled and hummed round them, fine glassy sounds and a regular quavering boom, and the icy blasts of the wind blowing and flowing over the dry rattling twigs of the last tree. There were also shrill notes that could have been whistling, human or inhuman. Mark said that he had heard that the porpoises and the dolphins sang to each other in the blue summer waters of the south from which they had come.